Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. Excuse me. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I would like to welcome you and invite you to take your usual virtual trip to the beautiful island of Jamaica, where in the old days we would sit out on the veranda on the beach, if that was your thing, or on the terrace. We used to have terraces on top of the houses in those days, and just feel the trade winds drift softly across your face as you sip whatever it is you sip. Some people could be sipping a cocktail, and the young ones may be doing some lemonade made from wet sugar and natural limes and being very delicious. Or some sort of natural fruit drink. So whatever you did when you visited the island or grew up there, just get into that mode. So we're taking a virtual trip to our favorite place in the backyard. So with that said, I'd like to welcome everyone on the board that have called in and those listening online to our very special Labrish this evening. Because if you're on my list and got the promo, you know we are going back in the days, our school days, of course, of the 40s and 50s, because, you know, we want to leave a living memory of how things used to be. We know a lot of things are going on now that are being chronicled online because of this cool new technology. And if you notice, the old senior citizen here is using the young folks' words like cool. You know, you got to get with it, folks. So you got to use the medium that the young people hopefully will get to eventually when they want to know something about the 40s and 50s from people who lived it. So without further ado, I want to welcome our guests. Miss Carole, if she's on the board, please raise your hands by hitting 1 on the keyboard. And I'm sorry, not the keyboard, the phone. So, and let me know you're there and you want to talk. So if you're there, Miss Carole, would you hit 1 on your phone so I can welcome you to the Labrish? If you're not here yet, we'll just wait for you. I see a raised hand. And I want to remind our listeners before I open up the mic to Carole that you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. This segment is Backyard Labrish. We are here each week at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And the objective of this show is to make a living memory from the people who lived part of what we're talking about, so that later on, when we're perhaps not here, the younger folks can come and not only hear our voices, feel our passion, and get the true story. Because we know that sometime when history is written by other people in of the future about the past, it's not always accurate. So without further ado, I want to welcome, let me see if I can open the mic here. Remember, I'm a senior citizen and I sometimes have a little problem. So hold on there while I open the mic and welcome our guest tonight. Are you there? The mic is open.
Hello.
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 Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I would like you to, the board is lit up. We have callers from 718-917-973, and I haven't a clue, except for one, know where those people are calling in from. But I want to welcome everybody to the backyard, and I want to introduce our Jamaican, who is now a Canadian citizen. And, Carole, I'd like you to introduce yourself to our callers.
Well, there's not much more to add, apart from the fact that I am a Jamaican. I left Jamaica when I was 21 and returned for a short three-year stint there, and try to get back every couple of years or so because I still have family there. However,
great, fantastic. So you know what I call you? A Jacan.
Okay.
That's a Jamaican living in Canada. Who's got Canadian children, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. We've been
so
in
you're
Canada
a Jacan.
For about 42 years now.
Wow.
So we've been here a long time.
Uh-huh. And tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, I was sort of the oldest of three children, with generations actually who were Westmalites or who were from Westmoreland. Both grandparents and so on were in the Westmoreland area. At the moment, I have just a brother and lots and lots of cousins living in Jamaica. My own family, we have four children. The last two are Jamaicans because they were born there, my Jamaican girls. The boys were born in England, and the girls are very proud, in fact, that they have three citizenships. So,
wow, that is great. That is great. And may I mention that you married a foreigner?
When I was in England, I married a native. That is native, not meaning Jamaican, but a British native. An English native. So
your kids are really have a lot of different countries that they're part of.
A lot of different countries and a lot of different cultural backgrounds, because you know that in Jamaica we're mixed up a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
A lot.
And so on. So they've got they're a great mixture, and those with birthmarks figured that they weren't mixed properly.
Oh, I got you. Anyway, we're anxious for you to share with us your school days, because as I mentioned before, as a matter of fact, I was just speaking with a past guest, and incidentally, I want to remind our listeners that today is a very special day. It's the birthday of one of our heroes, and it's Marcus Garvey, and they're having special events in Jamaica. And I was speaking to Mr. Ken Jones, who was our guest a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
He has a published book about Marcus Garvey said. And, you know, I was speaking to him. He resides in Jamaica earlier, and he told me he was on his way to some functions. And I'm sure that there are celebrations perhaps being held all over the world because there are Garveyites or people who are very familiar with the work of Marcus Garvey that are perhaps celebrating his birthday. So I would like to take a minute to do that. So back to you, Ms. Curls.
Okay. Margaret sort of made it quite clear she wanted to know just about my school days at Manning's. And
not just about that, really, but that is the theme for this
session. Since I tend to do my own thing, and with all due respect, I thought that there were probably a lot of listeners who didn't know the history of Manning's, and therefore I thought I would introduce with a brief history of Manning's. Now, Manning's is, in fact, the oldest school in Jamaica. Woolmers have tried to claim that distinction, but in fact Manning's was older than Woolmers, and Manning's is the second oldest school in the Caribbean. The first one.
I didn't know that. In my promo, I mentioned on the island because I but it's actually in the Caribbean.
In the Caribbean. The first one was Harrison College, I think, which was in Barbados. And we have that distinction. Manning's was established, or rather a trust was established in 1711 by a Westmoreland planter, Thomas Manning, who very, very generously willed property to be used for the establishment of a free school for the youth in the parish of Westmoreland. And if you think that government is slow now in meeting your requests for documents and so on, it took nearly 20 years for the legal formalities of his will to be resolved, and so it was in 1738 that the actual school was formally established on its present site, which was then near Savlamar, because I guess it was very much country then, and the town was very much smaller, but now it is very much an integral part of the town of Savlamar. The intention was that the school would benefit the poor. When the gift was given, the largest percentage of the population were excluded. At the time, there was discrimination based on color, geography, and sex. Only Westmoreites were allowed to be admitted, and only boys could attend. Girls were completely left out. And the rest of the country, the rest of the century, it served the white children of the plantation workers, you know, those who were brought from abroad but to be supervisors and so on.
Indentured laborers?
They weren't laborers. They tended to be the guys with the whips. They tended to be the supervisors. And the owners sent their children back to England to be educated. But those who were working, who were brought in to be the sort of slave masters or supervisors, could not afford to send their children to Europe for an education. So basically...
Would that be the bushers?
Yeah, the bushers.
Okay.
So basically, those their children were the ones that made up the school population. All the subjects were taught by a single teacher, and the subjects that were taught were reading, writing, and you're not going to believe it, but Latin and Greek. So this teacher had to be very well educated himself. And the caliber of the early teachers I think, had to have been very high indeed. This regard for British education has lasted until fairly recently, when the goal of many parents was for their children, certainly of my parents and the parents of many who are probably listening now, was for their children to attend a British university. As Mannings did not originally serve the wealthier members of Westmorland society, the tendency among a growing middle class was to send their sons and daughters to schools outside the parish. By the end of the century, the significant changes that took place in Jamaican society also affected Mannings. In 1823, the first headmaster with a university degree was appointed. He was the Reverend Fiddler, and he served for 40 years. The school excelled and expanded to accept students from neighboring parishes, as well as children of color. Emancipation further paved the way for blacks to be admitted, and by 1870, 25% of the school population were non-white.
Wow, that's way back, 1870.
That is way, yeah.
Wow.
But the interesting thing was that during his tenure, the school also opened up to the poor. These were non-fee-paying students and also girls. And I think it was pretty progressive, really, to be opening up or making education available to girls at that time.
Right. So because a lot of other parts of the world, that was not happening.
Exactly. So in 1844, of the 175 students, 37 were girls who paid 16 shillings per quarter.
Wow. That was a lot of money in those days.
That was a lot of money. But as the school, and I think that the families that sent their daughters to school had to have been very enlightened, you know, because normally they felt certain in British society that girls there, they were to learn to sew and to make samples.
Right, and they would marry a man.
And exactly, they would marry, yeah.
I mean, even in the British upper class society.
Exactly, yeah. I think those people who they were certainly very enlightened in those days. As the school expanded, children just even shortly before I went there, where they traveled, they came to school by donkeys, by mules, in buggies, and of course the bicycle. And some of them, I know my sister-in-law rode about 18 miles each way to get to school.
On her bicycle?
On her bicycle. And a large percentage of children came in from the outlying areas, because basically it served all of Westmorland. And they came in on their bicycles. Some stayed with a family in town during the week and rode their mule home on a Friday. And
in those days, boarding was popular.
Well, you know, you had to pay for boarding. So
yeah, right. But I mean, they would board perhaps with families
with
near
with
the
a friend
school.
Or something, you know, a family
right.
friend or so.
Right.
So there was very little time for extracurricular activities. So that is basically the sort of background. As I said, the school had a reputation even sort of within the rest of the Caribbean, a reputation for excellence. But after the Reverend Fiddler left, there was a high turnover of headmasters, and the reputation of the school suffered until the arrival of the Prescotts, who served from 1949 to 1961.
It's funny, but I remember that name.
Yeah, Mr. Prescott, he was a Barbadian, and he was actually credited with pulling Mannings into the 20th century.
Great.
No,
wow.
I discovered in sort of when you had asked me to talk about Mannings, I knew my father was an old student, but he also served on the board of governors for the school for a number of years.
Interesting.
So that is the brief history. Now I will go on to tell you about my own stay at Mannings.
Is great. I'm so glad that you covered that. Because in the first place, in the promo, I mentioned about it being the second oldest on the island. So that was, you know, that is enlightening to know that it was the first on the island, but the second in the Caribbean. So thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, I think there are those supporters of Woolmer's who will challenge that. But
okay. At this point, I just wanted to let the listeners on the board and also those listening online or those who may come by later on that we are looking for students who graduated prior to independence to share with us their experience, school experience. So feel free to get in touch with me at backyardlabrish.com and let me know that you'd like to share with the rest of the world. So back to you, Carole.
Okay. My stay at Mannings was from 1951 to 1953. You will recall that I said earlier, Westmalites, sort of middle-class Westmalites, sent their children away to school in other parts of the island. Now, I had been sent away to boarding school since the age of 7. First to Kingston, and then to high school in St. Anne, but always away from home. This is a true confession. I was not a motivated student. In high school, I dropped any subjects that I found difficult. In retrospect, I'm amazed that I was allowed to do this. Mm-hmm. I was not really dumb, as I excelled at the subjects I enjoyed. Now, I suspected that my parents were worried, and as they got to know the Prescotts, who were fondly called Father P and Mother P, it was a measure of their respect for them that they decided I should go to Mannings. I spent over 2 years there, retaking the senior Cambridge exam, and was among the first group working towards the higher school certificate. At Mannings, I encountered some of the most dedicated teachers of my school life.
Wow.
I hated math, and the math teacher gave of her holiday time to tutor me.
Do you remember her name?
Yes, I will mention it.
Okay.
If I go along, to tutor me in her home in Kingston, where I was holidaying. Her name was Miss Miller.
Wow.
I still can't figure out what Pythagoras' theorem has to do with anything, but the lessons learned was more important than the math. It was the caring. Mm. I had another amazing teacher in Mrs. Carnegie who taught English. I loved the classics, and I enjoyed poetry and essays. And should Mrs. Carnegie be listening, I know she's still alive.
I think she lives here. I'm not sure.
I believe she lives in Georgia.
Yes. I hope her sister's listening because I know her sister very well. I know her too.
Should she be listening, I would like to confess that I still have problems with punctuation. I wrote a wonderful appreciation of the poet Keats, which Mrs. Carnegie read to the class. My pride knew no bounds until she added that there was not one punctuation mark in the entire essay.
But it's the content of the essay that was important.
Yeah, I think so. My husband used to teach English, and to this day, I hand him my speeches, articles, etc., for editing before I deliver them.
Goodness.
There was also...
Well,
There was also a Pablo Johnston who taught Spanish. It was a new subject to me, and I saw no use for it. But his effort was not wasted, as I have been able to communicate in the Spanish-speaking countries I visited. On one occasion, I addressed a bus driver in Mexico intending to use the word quiero, but instead used querido, much to the amusement of the other passengers, and I discovered that querido is a term of endearment. I think it means sweetheart.
Oh, you were coming on to him, and you didn't know.
I had no idea. There was another teacher, a Mr. Carrington, who led us in some stellar choral performances. I will never forget how thrilled I was to partake in the choral rendition of How Lovely Are the Messengers That Teach Us the Gospel of Peace. It is still my favorite choral piece, even today.
You better watch it, because we might just ask you to perform and sing it.
Well,
Lavish. You know, we're very casual and relaxed as we leave our living memory. So,
have you got an a compliment there for me?
Well, you're going too far now. You know what I mean. We're just in the backyard. We're not in the theater.
You're not in the concert hall. You're in the backyard.
Right. Go ahead.
Now, Mr. Prescott taught A-level English, which showcased his sense of humor. We were doing a Shakespearean play, A Midsummer's Night Dream. Among the characters was Bottom. And somewhere in the play, Bottom roared. It took us a while to respond appropriately, that is, with hilarity, when we saw the look of mischief on Mr. Prescott's face.
Okay.
The school I had attended previously had emphasized discipline. It was highly regimented. But at Manning's, even more than the kindness and competence of the staff was the responsibility and confidence placed in me by my appointment as head girl.
Wow.
I learned later on that my poor brother took a lot of flack from the other students who didn't think this was right, that I should be made head girl after joining the student population for such a short time. Anyway,
was there a little Corey favor in that?
I don't know. I really don't know. As I said, the school I came from was very well known for its discipline and all the rest of it, and they must have seen something.
Right. You could set a good example for the other students.
Well, I think that's probably what they had in mind. But, you know, this was a tremendous boost to my self-confidence, as I strived to meet the high expectations this appointment implied.
Right. Can you give us an idea of what year we're talking about? Oh, you did mention.
Okay, this was 19... I was there from 19... Ooh. I'll tell you in a minute. I had it written down. I will come to it. I know I jotted it down somewhere.
No problem.
1951 to 1953.
Okay, good. Now we're there.
We completed over, which was 48 years ago when I left.
Right.
This is really dated me now.
This is really history. But you know something, I think it is very good for the students now and those that when they graduate in a few years, can come and listen to your stories about that. I just think it's wonderful. And that's what drives me to continue with the show. And I'm hoping that I'll get some feedback for some of the many callers on the board, because, you know, the whole objective is to have us share some of what went on when we were growing up on the island, because I really think it's very valid.
I think that when many of us left the island, we missed or did not take the opportunity to be aware of the oral history that was available. We didn't ask our parents questions. We didn't ask our grandparents questions, because I don't think we appreciated, you know, we wanted to move forward, but I don't think we appreciated the background or the importance of the background.
Definitely. I know I personally didn't. I didn't. My mother wanted to share a lot of stories with me, but I was always too busy, doing whatever it is I was doing. I didn't have time. And people say nowadays, when I talk to seniors, they will say to me, you know, well, the young people don't really care. And I'm saying, okay, I didn't when I was their age.
Well, I was going to say, what's changed, really? Because we didn't care at that age.
Right. So that's what I'm trying to encourage the seniors now, to remember that and leave something for them. Because I now regret that I didn't take time when my mother wanted to share certain things with me, and she's no longer here.
So
I can just make up stories about them, or you know, make up my own stories, which might not be all that accurate.
I also think, though, that we tend to probably share a little bit more with our grandchildren than our children, because, you know, we're busy with our children. You know, we're making meals, we're washing clothes, we're doing all that.
Right.
When the grandchildren come, it's we enjoy them more, and we tend to share more with them when they're young.
Yes, but I want to encourage the seniors to really embrace this new technology that we've been blessed with. Like what we're using now, to preserve their memories, because, and preserve, to have real history, because, you know, I had a lot of things from my mother that was destroyed in a fire. So we have natural disasters that, even if we have information written, whether it's be photographs or, you know, things that they wrote down that we saved or we wrote down about them, they could go up in smoke or in a flood or a hurricane in a nanosecond. So using this kind of technology is the best way to preserve them, because they're in the cloud. And we know that there will always be clouds.
But one of the things we can do is get our grandchildren to teach us how to use these things.
Right. Well, I just want to encourage everybody on the board and online that might be a little, you know, sensitive about this new technology, that, you know, it's great. Embrace the good parts of it. We don't have to get into the parts that don't work for us.
Yeah.
So with that said, I'm just always putting in my little sidebars, so just bear with me.
For your two cents worth.
The period that you went there. And I wanted to share a little with us, and you have really shared a lot, because you have a lot of great memories. You know, a lot of people in our age group are not that fortunate, because of illness or whatever. They just don't remember. So this is really great. And I know that sometimes, because you were asked to do this, you zeroed in, and I'm sure that some things came to you that perhaps you didn't know you would remember.
Well, I guess so, but you see, I've been writing my memoirs, which my children have asked me to do. I haven't gotten very far, but, you know, they're
that's great. Congratulations.
While my memory is still intact, you see, because my grandson tells me, I'm getting Alzheimer's because I forget things. So he forgets things because he has chosen to forget them. So I've basically told him that's exactly what I have done too. It's not Alzheimer's. I have just chosen to forget things.
Yeah. So
anyway,
go back to your.
Well, what I'll do is I'll go back and then as I said, I was appointed head girl, which was a tremendous boost to my self-confidence. I entered Manning's lacking in self-esteem and confidence and felt that the Prescotts were astute in recognizing my potential and giving me the opportunity to develop leadership skills. The teachers at Manning's were my role models in my own teaching roles in high school, community college, volunteer training, and in leading various support groups and other teaching roles in which I've been engaged throughout my career. The secret I now know was passion.
Mm.
Of all the gifts that I received from Manning's, and this is probably going to be the most unusual gift that a child has had from a school, the most important one was not from within the school. For the first time in 10 years, I was at home full-time, which enabled me to form a greater bond with my father. He also honed my sense of responsibility by challenging me. Remember, I was away from home for 10 years. I remember he allowed me to drive the tractor which pulled the Manning School float in a parade.
Wow!
One day he was stuck for a driver, and I also delivered sugarcane to the factory for processing. Now, I didn't get a license until 20 years later. Yes.
Yeah, great.
He allowed me to use a plot of land to organize the planting of rice. I had to purchase my own seedlings and rode my bicycle all over the place to locate the seedlings. Little did I know then that I was developing people skills.
Wow.
I got to know the families of the people in the country where we lived, in the country part surrounding us, and I also got to see more of the only grandparent I knew, who was his mother. I made friends locally, and some have lasted to this day.
Mm.
Why was my time at Manning so precious? Because my father died just over a year later. And had I not gone to Manning's, I would not have had these memories.
Wow.
He was my role model, and I would
have
missed out on knowing what to look for in a husband.
Hmm.
I had the pleasure of hosting Mrs. Prescott when she spent some time in Canada and became really aware of the love she and her husband had for Manning's.
Mm.
I know now that Manning's was my launching pad. I left with self-confidence and a strong sense of self-worth and the knowledge that I could do and be anything that I wanted. I left for the UK when I was 21, did my A-levels at night school, and was accepted at a prestigious university to realize my dream of becoming, no, not a doctor, nor a lawyer, but a social worker, where I have had the opportunity to serve wherever we have lived. My career has been rewarding, and the passion is still intact. I just wanted to add that I am so proud of Manning's. Their exam results have been outstanding. A Manning's boy became the first ambassador to China.
Wow.
And very recently, a Manning's, and there are many, but a Manning's girl who lived in Canada for some time, a Dr. Patricia Smith, and her colleagues at Harvard discovered a way to repair damaged nerves.
Wow, I think I read about her, yes.
You probably read about her, but she was from Darlaston in Westmorland and finished her high school in Manning's.
Wow.
They have been famous in the justice system, in the law courts, And, you know, they have made a contribution. Manning students are making contributions all over the world. I think I would be remiss in not mentioning the people of the town of Savlamar, the businesses, and the support that they have given the school. It has been their school, and they have embraced it. They have supported it. They have a thriving past student association who have, they now have chapters, I think, in many, many parts of the world. And, you know, and they have supported their school. And, you know, and I'm so proud of the people, of the adults that Mannings have contributed to society. And that's all I have to say.
Oh, that is wonderful. I see someone with a raised hand at 973, and I'm going to open up the mic. Hello, welcome to the backyard. Who do I have here? 973373. Excuse me? I can't. It's hard hearing you. Okay, try again. Did 973373 mean to raise their hand? I know sometimes people just hit it.
There's one digit missing from that number, Madge.
Well, I don't call the entire number out.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm sure if they would know if their area code is 973.
Right.
And the first three numbers are 373. And if you wish to interact with our special guest, would you speak up now? And if not, I'll close the mic because I see two other people who want to talk. So I'm going to close the mic now. You can hit one again if you would like to speak with us. But I'm going to open up the mic to 770-926, you're on. Hello, welcome to the backyard.
Hello, Mrs. Marshall. This is Sonia Chambers.
Hi, Miss Sonia Chambers. Welcome to the backyard. And where are you calling
from? Thank you. I am calling from Atlanta.
Yeah, what part? Atlanta is a big place.
Oh, Woodstock.
Okay, well, welcome from Woodstock. You would like to say something? You would like to add your two?
I am a Savlamarian.
Okay.
Not exactly, but outskirts of Savlamar.
You're Westlaw.
My name at school was Pat Turner.
Okay.
I don't know Carol, but I happen to know Janet.
Yes, that was my sister.
Yes,
yeah.
We were in the same class while she was at Manning's, and I happen to know your brother also.
Yes, because he was there as well.
And I know Tiny, his wife.
Right.
Matter of fact, I know them very well because I was in Savlamar at Christmas and I saw Tiny.
Oh, okay.
Came to see me. You may know Monica McGregor.
Of course.
We were at Manning's together.
Yeah, yeah.
I also saw her at Christmas.
Yeah.
And although I do not know you, I mean, I have heard of you and the Goldsons in Savlamar, and they were well known.
There have been generations of Goldsons in Savlamar.
Yeah, right. Remember Grotto?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm a Turner from George's Plain.
Yeah.
So you may have heard of the Turners.
Yes, I have. Were you one of those who used to cycle into school?
That's right. Used to ride 5 miles every morning, miles every afternoon.
Yes.
Back to George's Plain. Country girl.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Backyard Labrish has really been bringing some people together. This is wonderful.
Yeah. So I also know Lorna Williams.
Yes.
I think you may know Lorna Williams.
Yes, I knew Lorna.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So would you like to share some things with us about your experience at Manning's, Miss Sonia?
Well, I had memorable times there. The Prescotts were, Mr. Prescott, he was the principal while I was there, and his wife.
We must have been there at the same time, at some time.
I think, well, I came.
I was in the, you knew the Nortons, right? Pansy and Joy?
I met Pansy here.
Oh, okay.
But I started school the same day. I started at Manning's the same day as Janet did.
Oh, okay. So you're a bit younger than
a little younger age.
Yeah, because
a lot younger.
Yeah. She's 6 years younger than myself. So
now Pansy went to school with my sister Sadie. They were of the older age group.
Yeah.
Watch it. But I enjoyed Manning's, you know. I thought the education there was quite rounded.
Yeah.
And we had good teachers. We even had teachers from abroad while I was there.
Okay, that was...
Apart from Mr. Prescott, we had two other teachers from Barbados.
Really, yeah.
Yes, and, you know, they were very good. And I always think of Manning's and I think of soccer, or football as we called it then.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because we were quite good. And I used to look forward to going to Cornwall College.
Yeah.
To cheer for our boys at Manning's.
Right. Yeah.
And, I made friends at Manning's, like Monica McGregor, who's still my friend.
Yeah.
Wow.
Made good friends there.
Life
on
friends.
I think Manning's is an excellent school. You know, it gives good education. Unfortunately, I did not really graduate from Manning's. I left there and went to a private high school for a year before I graduated. But I think it was a good school. I'm glad I went there. You know, I'm glad for that opportunity. And I'm really happy for the people who I met there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a lot of good memories. I see a hand raised at 954-963. I'm going to open up the mic. Welcome to the backyard and to the Labrish. This is Margaret. Who do I have?
Margaret, this is Mr. Mickey Mailer.
Hello there, Mr. Mickey Mailer. Welcome to the backyard. Are you
Manny? Thank you.
No,
but I was going to ask Mrs. Fowles if she knew the Mailer brothers.
Of course I knew the Mailers. They had a furniture business.
Yes, and they both brothers were mayors of Sablemore.
Well, that was probably after my time, but I certainly remember the Mailers and that they had a furniture business. You see, one of the disadvantages of going away to school is that I didn't really get to know the local families as well as I should have.
Uh-huh.
Because I was just home for holidays in that 10-year period I was away. I was just home for holidays.
I understand.
And, you know, and our place was in the country. I mean, it was a long walk to go into town, so, you know.
where was the country then?
The country, you know where the cemeteries were?
Yes.
Well, we were beyond that.
Okay.
At Grotto.
Yes.
Grotto was the name of her plantation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I
just stopped in to say hello, and I wish you well.
Thank you.
You're writing your memoirs, and I wish you all the best with that.
Okay.
And have it published in a hurry so we can read all about it.
Oh, no, it's a secret.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for calling in and interacting with our host today. And want to welcome you and hope you come back often.
I believe the mailers were also on the Board of Governors of the school at some time.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
They were quite active socially.
Yes, they were very, very active and very, very supportive.
Yes.
Yeah.
So would you like to tell us where you're calling from, Mr. Mailer? So the
I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale or Pembroke Pines in Florida.
Right.
I was a guest on one of your shows once.
Yes, I know. I know who you are, but I want you to identify yourself to the rest of the world.
Okay, my dear. thank you for that exposure, too.
Yes.
And well, I must say, yes.
Where did...
Go ahead.
Did your brothers, were there those your brothers
were my uncles.
Oh, I see.
They were my uncles. They both...
So are you from Westmoreland?
No, my grandfather is from Little London.
Okay, that's where my grandfather was from,
yes.
Waldemar.
Yes, he had sugar plantations, an area called Mailer's Field.
That's right, I knew Mailer's Field.
Yes, mm-hmm. That was bought up by the Western Indian Sugar Company after he died.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a well
known
family in Westmoreland, yes.
Yeah. Well, I have learned something today that I didn't know before about Westmoreland.
Indeed.
Just love the Labyrinth because we're bringing people together.
Thank you very much, and I must say good evening to you. Rest of your program.
Calling in.
Okay, bye bye.
And come back and see us sometime. Perhaps we'll be able to chat again.
I will.
All righty.
Good luck
Bye-bye.
To you. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye.
Is there anyone else that would like to put in their two cents in the Labyrinth about Manning that we are discussing this evening? Do just put your hand up and let me know. I see a hand up from 718, so I'm going to open the mic. Welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Labyrinthing with Carol from Canada.
Hi, Margaret. This is Lay from the Bronx.
Home of the Yankees.
Doing well, as a matter of fact.
Great. Fantastic.
You find your
Are you
program
from
very
Westmoreland?
Interesting tonight because being a Kingstonian and schooled in Kingston, I was aware of Manning, of course, one of your callers mentioned football, soccer.
Yeah.
And
right.
As a result, the school that I went to was very much involved with those schools because of soccer.
Yeah.
But that's where it ended. I wondered about... The logo from Manning's, what it meant. Would you be it, I think it's a Latin logo.
It is a Latin logo, and it is vita sine literis mors est. I mean, life without literacy
learning.
Or literature is dead.
Okay, gotcha.
Or life without learning.
Life without learning is dead.
It's dead, yeah.
And are you familiar with the emblem?
Yes, that's what caught my attention. And, you know, ours has a cross at St. George's.
I wouldn't
say similar, but it's very eye-catching.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And if I may, Carol, I don't know if you have the information on the emblem, but I have it right in front of me, so I'm going to read it. And
okay.
I invite people online. It should be flashing. They do a little flash on Block Talk Radio of the pictures that I put on there, you know, the icons or whatever they call them. But it has the head of a cow on one side, and that represents the 100 heads of cattle that were left by Thomas Manning,
yeah,
his will.
Yeah. Yes.
And it has a plant on the other side, which represents Thomas Manning's plantation.
Yeah.
The 1938 represents the year the school officially started.
Opened. That's right.
Right. The crocodiles were popular and roamed the local river and swamps near Thomas Manning's plantation. So
yeah,
the crocodile is part of the emblem. And there's water, which represents,
yeah,
the sea that is close to Manning's pool.
Yeah.
The cross symbolizes faith, health, and well-being of the school community. And, of course, you mentioned what the school motto is.
Yeah.
And the,
yeah,
note here said, which is on the website, anyone can visit the Manning's website. There are several of them. It says the motto is very significant to our school family as it reflects our beliefs and philosophy that the pursuit of knowledge will empower us to embrace and overcome life's challenges. Also that learning is a lifelong activity.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, that is really a deep statement about,
yeah,
the motto. And you certainly, you and Miss Sonia from Woodstock certainly spoke well of what the school meant to you while you were there. And I want to encourage other listeners and callers, you know, to really, I really believe that although the younger generation might not seem to be interested in our stories now, that they will be at some time. And I know that in all our lives, you know, as we mature and go from being a kid to a teenager, we go through different stages. And a lot of us mature people tend to forget. We do forget anyhow, but we forget how we thought when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes our behavior is not much different from the behavior now. It might be different, but basically, you know, not much different, where you don't feel you care about certain things or that perception. But as we mature, things change. So I encourage you to be a little patient with the younger generation and sort of get to understand them that so that we can help them better. Because, you know, we're all humans, and I think that basically, whether we grew up on the island or in a big city or another country, you know, when I look back, a lot of things have changed, but a lot of things have not. As you mentioned, Carole, that even politics or the legal system, people used to have challenges with it from 17 whatever, right?
Yeah,
and 18 whatever.
Yeah.
Things never got done as fast as we thought they should. That haven't changed. Even,
yeah,
right there on the island, that haven't changed. And people now that are experiencing difficulty may think that, you know, it's new, but it's not. I also, you mentioned of the challenges that some young people experience even to get to school on their donkeys and on,
yeah,
their bicycles, as Sonia mentioned. Some,
yeah,
people even rode far, much further. She mentioned 5 miles.
Yeah.
You,
yeah,
mentioned people you know who rode, yeah, longer.
Yeah, yeah.
So all of this, I think, can empower the generation now that might be having a difficult time. Now,
well, I tell
I
you one thing, they were probably a healthier generation than the present.
Right.
Generation.
Now they're talking about having to take 2 taxis to get to school in parts where the buses don't run.
Yeah.
So, you know, they should consider themselves privileged that they need to take two taxes.
Right.
The generations before them had to ride their bicycles that those mileage is my point.
Yeah.
And I always try to bring to light some things from the past as we discuss it that can be encouraging to the generation now and those to come later on. So yeah. At this point, I would like to invite the callers on the board that would like to put in their sidebar, as I call it, even though they might not be Manning's graduates, but they want to add something to the Labrish, to feel free to do so, because that's what a Labrish is all about. So let me know if you would like to interact by hitting 1 on your telephone, and I'd love to welcome you in whatever chair you're sitting, whether you're virtually on the beach, on the top of the roof, I mean in the backyard under a mango tree, sipping your rum and Coca-Cola, or just sugar and water, as we used to. We used to call it a different
Beverage.
Thing. What was it?
Beverage.
Yes, but we used to have one that we used to mix with wet sugar in the days way back in my great grandmother's day. When we had
wet
sugar, remember that?
And civil oranges.
And civil orange. And we used to call it wash.
Belly wash.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, and it was the most delicious. That wet sugar, when it's mixed with water, was so good. And with the sour orange or the civil orange or the lime or whatever you had in your yard, that made this wonderful beverage.
Well, being in the country, you see, someone used to come around with a donkey with a pannier in it, in which there was a big sort of kerosene tin, and they would have measures, which would be either a pint or a half pint and so on, and they would scoop the wet sugar from this measure and sell you, you know, you had your own container and, you know. But they didn't come to us.
And I'm sure that some of the modern people, you know, wouldn't even think that it would be safe to buy something from an open container, a wet sugar thing. But we didn't worry about those things, and nobody got sick.
No, because we were cooking all our food in coconut oil.
Right. But it was it's so wonderful to reflect and recall of those glorious days, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So I want to thank everybody. If you would like to say something else, you are welcome. Those who have their mics open, which would be Miss Sonia from Woodstock and Mr. Lay from the Bronx. And I see other callers. If you want to join this big Labrish, just hit 1 on your telephone, and I will open up the mic to you. But you guys who have your phones open, if you want to add your sidebar, feel free.
Well, I would like to say that if I knew that Carole was really going to be on, I would have had my score of How Lovely Are the Messengers available, and we could have had a duet right here on your program.
Absolutely. Well, if you have the score, Lee, we'll have to get together. You're in the Bronx, I'm in Canada. We'll have to meet halfway and do our thing.
We'll do. Next.
All right. We have any more challenges to come?
Well, I enjoyed listening to Carol.
Pardon?
I enjoyed listening to you.
Oh, thank
and
you.
Reminiscing.
Yeah.
That was very good.
Thank you. It was very, when I thought about it, especially, you know, with getting to know my father more, it was very, very emotional for me. It was a very emotional journey.
Yeah.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Well, I too will look forward to your memoirs. I have a lot of Canadian contacts. I'll let you know, between Toronto and Montreal.
You do.
So, I certainly do.
Well, I mean,
hey.
we, so So we'll have to let you know when we publish.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
right.
I've told my kids they can't read it until I'm dead.
Ooh, no,
oh,
don't go. It's been wonderful, and for me, very exciting, because I'll share this with the rest of the listeners online, and Carole happens to be my second cousin, and I fondly remember when I used to go to Grotto and see the Indians in the rice fields that she was talking about, and the cows on the pasture.
Yeah.
I loved it, absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, my mother's parents are from Sablabar. My mother's mother is from Sablabar. And then Mr. Lay from the Bronx, who is the home of the Yankees, is another cousin on my grandfather's side. So this is very exciting.
You know, if it weren't for her cousins, I don't know what she would
family.
Do.
Yeah, because, you know, my mother was a Nunez, and Mr. Lay is a Nunez, so that connection there, and you, he's my first cousin, second cousin, whatever. I don't remember, but...
Yeah.
it's
your mother and my mother were first
both
cousins.
On at the same time.
Yeah.
So I had my Kingston experience. And also my Sablamar experience.
Well, listen, I learned something now. If Carole's mother and Jess were first cousins, then I'm a second cousin as well.
All right.
Okay. No, you. Have cousins coming out of the woodwork.
The backyard is bringing a lot of people together. We did a show before with Mr. Ken Jones, and he hooked up with someone he knew. I think that young man is in the States, but they had met when Mr. Jones was here, you know, as an ambassador or something. But it's really quite interesting and exciting. I hope all the listeners on the board have enjoyed the show. And that you will tell your friends, because, and you can always go to backyardlabrish.com. We do have a website, and we are getting ready to really upgrade it. But if you go to Blog Talk Radio, you will see pictures of Mannings, and you will also see their motto. Yes, if you go online, you will see it. And with the technology now, you know, you can do things like that. So I think they have a flash going for those who are listening online, and they will see all the pictures of Jamaica. So I try to post. So if at any time I send you a promo, if you're on my list and you have a picture that relates to what we're going to talk about that you would like to share with the world, do send it to me, because I will definitely post it. So do we have any other comments from any of the open mic or those that have not raised their hands yet, because we're about to sign off? So I want to thank everybody for being here. Carole, you have been very, very charming and helpful and informative. When we say we're here to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve, you have done all of that.
Thank you.
So I want to really... Thank you, and I know all our listeners online and those who might come by later certainly appreciate you being here and sharing with us.
Well, I feel very privileged to have the opportunity to share this very important part of my life.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye now. Carole and Sonia.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Hey, nice, and thanks for sharing with us. And I would like to end by reminding our listeners that we're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So as I do each week, I would like to wish you a wonderful evening and remind you to make it a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, see you next week.